Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
More Facebook controversy surrounding, well, it's not really breastfeeding, but it's pretend breastfeeding. Thanks for rejoining me here on Newsline PM on this Friday afternoon. I appreciate that. So we're talking about this mom who's from the area here. She put up a picture of her five-year-old daughter, and the little girl was pretending to nurse her two-year-old sister. So, you know, the mom says she put it up, wanted her friends and relatives to see it. She thought it was cute. What happened was is that Facebook says, well, you know, sorry, that picture violates our community standards. They took the picture down, and the mom has been banned from Facebook for 7 days now. Mom is ticked. Lauren is the mom. She joins me here on Newsline PM. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
So what made you put the picture up? What was it?
My kids were cute. I grabbed the camera because it was near me and took a picture. It wasn't even like, oh, some people are saying it's an agenda. I wasn't pushing an agenda. I just thought my kids were cute. I share lots of cute pictures with my kids. We're military, so my family lives far away. My friends we meet, they live far away. It's how we communicate about our lives. We show it on our Facebook page.
Did you have any second thoughts about putting that picture on there? I mean, was there something that said, well, maybe this isn't really appropriate, or should I do this?
Breastfeeding is never inappropriate, so no, I didn't. Well, but it's now there are some crazy-looking people and crazy-thinking people that have a problem with it, and, you know, that sucks.
Well, I don't think it's not that people have a problem with breastfeeding. They have
yes,
a,
they do.
No,
they do have a
no, they have a problem with.
Hold on, Lauren.
I think the issue here is not breastfeeding. The issue here is your 5-year-old daughter pretending to breastfeed your 2-year-old daughter.
Tell me what's unsettling about that.
I didn't say it was unsettling. I said it's different. I said it's different. It's not breastfeeding.
But she was pretending. She was play acting what happens in our house. My 2-year-old still nurses. My 5-year-old, she remembers doing it. If they had been using a bottle to pretend to feed each other, kids play pretend. They play mommy and baby all the time. They put each other to bed and read stories and pretend to cry. I didn't think anything of it. I probably should have because people have problems, but that's their issue. It's not mine.
Well, I think the problem and the issue that has been raised here is not whether the picture is cute. I think the problem that's been raised, and it was raised by, you know, a member of the police department's Internet Crimes Against Children saying,
oh, I saw her. Yeah.
Yeah, and what she's saying is, look, you don't know where this picture is going to wind up. You don't know who is possibly going to use this picture for sexual gratification. You don't know.
How is that going to hurt my children? No one is getting my children from me. No one's taking my children away from me.
No, but I think what the caution here is that once you put photos like that up on the internet, whether it's restricted to Facebook or not, those are out there forever. People could usurp those photos. Somebody could forward it to somebody else. Somebody could friend you and just want to see the picture. I mean, there's all sorts of scenarios that can be developed around this. And I think the question that this raises is, you know, was it the smartest thing to do?
I don't think it was stupid. I think that people have a fetish for many things, and you cannot live in fear and allow them to control you. And if my children someday see this on a child porn site, the issue is going to be what? Children looking at child porn. Honestly. You know, I mean, there, my friend was sharing a story with me about how there's diaper swapper kind of sites for cloth diapers, and pictures of diaper babies were being taken, put on fetish sites. I mean, people have fetishes for feet, for sexy shoes. I mean, I cannot put my children in burkas and hide in the house all day.
And
I really don't see the issue.
I don't think anyone is suggesting that you put them in burkas, but I think what it does is...
I better not take them to the beach, ever.
Well, I think
no
it just
swimsuit. No.
It raises the question, Lauren. And look, I'm not sitting here judging you. I'm looking at what has developed around this and the controversy
that
has...
Yeah, I'm surprised people actually care. Because on the Como Facebook page, right under my link, there's a link about a man who raped a little girl, an 8-year-old girl. Guess whose comment thread is gigantic? Guess whose has under 30 comments? I think people's priorities are skewed. I think they need to reexamine their issues here. Child rape, children pretending to nurse like mommy is nurse babies.
But I think you also have to consider there's a certain amount of sensitivity that has to be given to things that are posted on the internet. We may, in all innocence,
well, I didn't post the naked.
No, but you're missing the point, though, Lauren. I mean, there are people who are saying, wait a minute, this is something that you should have at least given a second thought to. Given the nature of what was happening and given the make-believe part of this, make-believe breastfeeding, was it really appropriate, and how could that photo be interpreted by someone else? I think you're right in terms of, yeah, you can't keep all the pictures of kids in bathing suits. You can't keep all of that off the internet, but you can make a judgment as to whether or not a particular photo, however innocent, goes beyond the pale.
I didn't think it was beyond the pale. I thought there was quite a huge overreaction. And because of that overreaction, my naive outlook, my optimistic view on life has been altered. And I find that very sad. And it's shameful, honestly. And the fact this has all gone viral, I don't understand why it's that big of a deal. And it's pretty weird. I didn't expect anybody to care. I didn't expect the news to even call me back because I wanted to contact Facebook, and they hung up on me, and then they wouldn't email me back. So I felt very confused as to how am I supposed to get Facebook to even pay attention to the fact they're violating their own terms of service here. And, I just didn't really know what to do. And now I see that there's far too many people with perverted minds, and I just need to move on and forget that they exist if I can.
Well, it's sad, the world we live in.
It is sad.
There is certainly a sadness to this. But I guess in some way, if you're saying that you were so naive that you didn't believe anything like this could be twisted into something not so nice, then maybe for the sake of your kids, there's something beneficial has come from this. Maybe you're losing some of that naivete may be a good thing.
It depresses me, honestly. To have to, be honestly faced with some of the cruelty and the perversion in the world.
But, Lauren, but they exist.
I agree with what you're saying right now, but it's sad.
It is sad. It's sad that they exist, but the reality is that, yes, they do exist. And there are pedophiles who seek out photos like that. And it's just a caution to say, don't put your children.
They won't be hurting my children. It's like saying, don't wear a short skirt because you're asking to get raped.
No.
There's a lot of victim blaming that's gone on here, and I refuse to even acknowledge it.
No, the victims, Lauren, are the two little innocent little girls. You're not the victim; they are.
I didn't think I victimized my children. I completely resent that fact and that statement. Let's say I completely do not acknowledge that my children have been victimized by me.
Well,
and they're not being victimized if someone looks at that picture and is turned on, because they are not going to be seeing my children in real life. They are not going to be touching my children. I'm a stay-at-home mother. I take care of them. They are always with me. If I'm visiting family from far away because we don't live near them, they might stay with them for a few hours. I don't even leave my kids overnight.
Well, all I'll say is
hurting my children.
I think at this point I'm kind of happy to see that some of your naivete has been stripped away. However, and I do acknowledge, and I thank you for joining me, I do acknowledge that that is a sad fact.
You've heard what's happening. Now, find out what it means to you. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
So I'm hearing about this new tact that's being taken on the Burke-Gilman Trail, and it's like the first thing I thought of was, can't we all just get along? Welcome back to Newsline PM. I appreciate your hooking up here with me. So there's this new campaign that's targeting people who are walking along the trail, those who are cycling along the trail, those who may be rollerblading or skateboarding or pushing strollers or whatever. And it's kind of saying, hey, look, turn your headphones down. Watch what your dogs are doing. Slow down a little bit. If you're pedaling on a bike, don't be zipping along at, 21 miles an hour. And just kind of keep it cool so that everyone who wants to enjoy the Burke-Gilman Trail can get out there and enjoy it. MJ Kelly's with the Cascade Bicycle Club joins me here on Newsline PM. Hi, MJ.
Hi, Ken. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. So what has there been incidents along the Burke-Gilman Trail that's sparking this, or is this just something preemptively trying to get things to, happen a little nicer, better, and everybody gets along?
Well, that's a great question. And over the last year or so, it's something that our outreach team has been thinking about, broadening our message to trail users not just talking about roadway users, but also looking at these other great facilities that cyclists are commonly using, our multi-use trails. And the trails, like you noted in your intro, there are lots of people out there for lots of different reasons. And we were hearing about some conflicts out there, and these are the kind of things that don't show up in police reports. They're minor skirmishes. But we thought, what can we do to bring some messages to the bicyclists, the constituents that we represent, and to all the other people out there on the trail, just like you said, to keep it cool, get along a little better, look out for each other. That's the primary message.
And because I'm thinking that people who use the trail think of it in a very proprietary way. This is my trail. I'm out here with my infant, and I'm walking my daughter and pushing the stroller, and I'm talking with my friend, and I'm sipping my coffee, and those damn bicyclists are whizzing by me too fast. And then the bicyclists are thinking, hey, look, this is, you know, a major connection. I'm out here. I'm exercising. I'm keeping to the left. I'm making sure. I'm calling at people. I got the bell on. Everybody thinks that they own their own little portion of that trail. And I guess the trick is, how do you get them to cohabitate together in that manner?
Well, you know, I've been a mom with that stroller, and I've been a runner, and I'm a bike commuter. So I am that person at all different times, depending on how I'm using the trail that particular day.
Yeah, but here's what I'm going to bet, MJ. When you're the bicyclist, you're running those mothers over. And when you're the mom, you're going, slow down, you big dope. So you're kind of slipping from one, you know, you've got multiple personalities, MJ.
Me?
Yeah.
No, never. No, but so let's take a step back and say, hey, who are these people out here? Well, let's start with, first of all, they are people. These are our neighbors. Nobody wants to trip their neighbor with a dog leash and send them flying over their handlebars and have a tragic accident. We don't want to run any kids off of the trail with our bikes. Nobody wants to be yelling out there. So we're trying to decrease that animosity and bring together a little bit more community. So we've got three messages for the time being, and we'd really like to hear more feedback on what people would like to convey through some safety messages. And the first one is directed toward bicyclists to pass with consideration, slowly give folks space, to dog walkers, to please keep your leashes close to you, your dogs close to you, especially those extended leashes. They're really hard to see.
Oh, they're the ones that stretch out for 25 feet.
Yeah,
yeah, I know what
and dogs can go the whole way across the trail, and that could be a difficult situation. And the third one, which you also noted, was just watch that volume on your headphones so you're aware of your surroundings.
So do you think that that can be accomplished by putting up these signs? Because, you know, again, I think most people would agree with everything that you said, not include themselves as those who should be criticized for their behavior perhaps not matching up to what you said. And do you think the signs will alter the behavior?
Well, I will tell you it's sparking some great conversations. We would not be on the radio today having this conversation if we didn't start with those signs. And we're seeing interesting feedback on our blog and other blogs dedicated to bicycling. So people are talking about it, and I think that's the first step. And then modeling the behavior thereafter and decreasing our tolerance for bad behavior among the community.
Because I live close to the Burke Gilman, I may sneak out there and put some signs up of my own.
What would your sign say?
No strollers. No dogs.
No. We have a much more succinct message.
No old people walking slow. I wonder what the reaction would be.
Well, you know, why don't you test those messages out, put up a blog post, open it for comments, and let me know.
Oh, no. I want to put it on the trail. I would want to experiment with it and see if anybody paid. No old people shuffling at half a mile an hour.
Well, you know, one of the reasons we got into this campaign, there's a retirement community very close to our office. It's right next, adjacent to campus. And I was riding my bike one day, and I observed a cute little old lady trying to get across the path. And
you put her on your handlebars and gave her a ride.
You were right. Well, there were four of us who stopped, two from each direction, and we were all four women. And the male cyclist just kept zipping by, and so we said, no, we're going to stop for you, and we sort of blocked the trail to get her through. I mean, those are extreme measures. It shouldn't come
well,
to that.
Well, women are always, come on, you're the sensitive gender. Guys are out there, they're just looking to get some exercise. MJ, I got a buzz. I want to say thank you. You're fun to talk with. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Hang with us in a moment. I have a question. Who owns the Olympics?
Time to discuss, dissect, and debate the news. Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
So have you been watching the opening ceremonies of the Olympics over in London? Because if you have been, it's not on any American broadcast channel. But then, of course, you can just go online and stream it, can't you? You can just watch it online. No, you can't do that either. We got our production manager, our the grand guru here, sent us a note the other day about what we can and cannot use in terms of visuals. I know, radio, but we're talking audio as well. You will not believe the restrictions that are placed on media outlets other than NBC, because NBC bought the rights to this. Which leads me to my question. Yeah, NBC bought the broadcast rights, but who is it that owns the Olympics?
Como News Radio, everything you need to know. Now, Newsline with Ken Schramm.
So let me read you just a portion of this. Welcome back to Newsline PM. Thanks for joining me here. It says, I'm going to skip over some of the stuff. This is to advise you that NBC Universal Media has acquired the exclusive right in the United States and its territories and possessions, excluding Puerto Rico, to broadcast and otherwise exhibit the games of the 30th Olympiad. Games are scheduled, so on and so forth. NBC will provide high definition and red standard definition, so on and so forth. NBC Universal's exclusivity extends to all media, including but not limited to broadcast and cable television, radio, the internet, and any wireless platform, and to all aspects of the game, including the opening ceremonies, closing ceremonies, all athletic competitions, all award and other official ceremonies, all athletic interviews, all other events, performances, exhibitions, demonstrations, rehearsals, activities staged at a venue including but not limited to the Olympic Park and or the Olympic Village. And I guess the point that I'm trying to make here, something that I want to raise, is it used to be that the Olympic experience was for the world. It was for all of us to enjoy. I know for a while ABC had the exclusivity as well, and that's what started all this crap. But it's gotten to the point, it's like the same with the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, things are so locked down. This has become such a huge business that if you can't even mention hardly the word Olympics without having to pay a fee. ABC's Tom Rivers is in London. I'm sure you've been enjoying the opening ceremonies, Tom.
Well, I tell you, it's going out live here on the BBC. And yeah, I'm not going to steal anyone's thunder, but Lord, it is an incredible ceremony, and you're going to enjoy it. It's poignant. It's funny. It is historical. It's got all of the elements in there. But you're absolutely right. It's changed over the years. I guess the biggest change was probably '84 in LA when large corporate sponsors came in and kind of changed the whole complexion, as you described, setting up, saying that it's a different ballgame after that point on.
You know what amazes me is how we as consumers have just kind of like accepted this. It's like there's no outrage. There's no, you know, what are you doing? How come this has happened? Why is this so proprietary? What do we count as, you know, we as consumers, as viewers, as listeners, as readers? Why are we to be so deprived? And it just seems to be accepted.
It's taken on board. And I guess simply people kind of get used to that. And it's interesting, though, there's been a lot more, I guess, critical press here in the UK simply because some little mom and pop shops have put up, for instance, you know, Olympic rings and et cetera, on their windows. And in some cases, they've been told to, you know, to change them, modify them, et cetera, et cetera. And it really does beg the question, you know, should large people who obviously pay a lot of money, fair enough, they want to safeguard some of their trademarks, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, if you go after mom and pops, you know, is that going too far?
It feels like it. So let's get back to the opening ceremonies themselves, because I would imagine that the level of excitement and enjoyment and just everything surrounding the Olympics getting underway has probably been a spectacle that's difficult to compare to anything else.
Oh, yeah, very much different. I mean, 7 years ago, you, I don't know if you recall that those times in Singapore when you know, Paris was going to get it, and London ended up getting it. David Beckham was there. Incredible, incredible story. Those 7 years have gone pretty, pretty darn quick, and all of a sudden, boom, it's right on our doorstep. Finally, a different chapter. Last couple of weeks, all of the discussions here have been really about security, 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 what's going on. That's all gone now. And it's basically, you know, yes, we've got this incredible ceremony going on now, and the country's turned a page saying, okay, let's really start talking about the events and some of the personalities.
Has the security presence dampened any of the excitement at all? Because I know they were shipping in a lot of soldiers. There is, you know, a lot of presence of military presence there with the guns and the rifles and the, you know, the protection that should be afforded here. Does that steal away from any of it?
Not, you know, it's funny, not really. But boy, I tell you, I'm right now looking at the stadium a few hundred yards away from me. I'm just outside of the Olympic Park itself, and right off to my right is the Olympic Tower, this strange looking sculpture, if you will. There's police everywhere. They've got armored vests on. Many of them are carrying automatic weapons. But it's not oppressive. People can talk to them, and it's an interesting mix, if you will, of securing the games, and then, you know, allowing the normal run of the mill right to protest, et cetera, in this country. So it's a balancing act, if you will.
I know there was a perhaps just a minor point of contention. I was reading a story as to whether or not the American Olympic team was going to dip the American flag as they passed by the Queen. And apparently there's some concocted tradition that somebody said exists from 1908 when one of the Irish American members of the Olympic team refused to dip the American flag for the king, and that there's this supposedly this tradition of not doing that. Do you know if that happened or not?
You know, that's interesting, and it does raise historical precedents in the past, and I don't know. I can't answer that right now, today. But, the same thing goes for, and it's happened in the past, for women to curtsy or not. And exactly, it's exactly the same thing. Some people over the years have said, no, I refuse to do that. I ain't going to do it. So it's kind of in that bag.
And how about the American Olympic uniforms? There's enough controversy around them.
I think, people are kind of, in a sense, kind of chuckling about that here. I mean, it's because they think it's kind of a dumb idea. If you come from America, you probably should be sporting American clothes. If you don't, so be it. But, that's probably not the done thing for most of the countries here.
Have there been any restrictions in terms of what the ABC radio crew has been able to do with the Olympic coverage so far?
Well, again, we can't get into the nitty-gritty once the games begin. You can't do things like, you know, any kind of play-by-play, anything like that. Can't really use, for instance, a lot of the interview material, et cetera, et cetera. There are things we can do on the side, dealing with some of the Olympic officials that may hold pressers, that kind of thing. We can deal with that kind of material.
Well, all I can say is I'm very envious of the fact that you're over there and I'm not. And
okay.
I hope you enjoy the heck out of it, and I hope it's a wonderful experience, and I hope it's awesome. It sounds like it's going to be.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. That's Tom Rivers in London there, ABC's Tom Rivers. I do fault ABC because I think ABC put us on the path that we currently find ourselves. And I have a difficult time. I don't like it as associated with the Super Bowl, that everything is just so proprietary. And I'm telling you, there's like 15 pages of stuff from NBC here in respect to what we cannot do, what we cannot use, what every other media organization. And I don't know how a news organization can buy the rights to what is really a major news event like the Olympics.
This is Newsline PM with Ken Schramm on Como News Radio.
Well, he says the state absolutely left him in the lurch. Smothered whatever plans he had. Caused him all sorts of mental anguish. We're talking about the guy who bought the Kalakala and was hoping to have it restored. Now going to be suing the state of Washington. And he's going to be suing the guy who, for like 8 years, I think, gave him free mortgage. And we're talking about Steve Rodriguez. He's the owner of the Kalakala. Joins us here on Newsline PM. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. My first question is, why are you suing the guy who gave you free mortgage?
Ken, it was never free. Prior to leaving Nia Bay, I would not enter his property until I got a full commitment on a lease signed by both parties.
So how much have you been paying for mortgage for the past 8 years?
The mortgage was agreed at $2,000 a month at the very beginning. And after we got there, of course, he gave us a huge contribution in kind and reduced it to $1 a year.
That's pretty much free.
That's free. That's free. But the point of free is not necessarily measured in dollars. The safety issues were a huge factor when I got there.
You've been there
for 8 years.
When did you buy the Kalakala? The Kalakala, by the way, for folks who don't know what we're talking about, it was a Washington State ferry that was in operation from 1935 to 1967. It is extreme. I mean, if you saw a picture of it, you'd know exactly what we're talking about. Very distinctive. Art Deco, streamlined design. Why did you buy it, Steve?
Ken, I bought it because I traveled across America and then went on international assignments in third world countries, and I loved what I did and making a difference. I came back to America to give up my career and find something special to make a difference. And I created a project for public-private joint ventures within rural communities, and I fell into the Kalakala.
Your original plans were to what? Restore it and turn it into a restaurant, a sightseeing boat, what?
It was the most important significance of the Kalakala was the historical preservation value. I immediately pursued getting it listed on the National Register of Historic Places, and that's where the beauty of the Kalakala is. It was owned by the public, and it was owned privately. Both of them owned it for 16 years each, 32 years of service, but it always served the people.
But what did you want to do with it?
I wanted to preserve it to its original glory in 1935 and make it as beautiful as the day it was launched and inaugurated as the world's first streamlined vessel.
And then what were the plans then? To turn it into a museum? I mean, ultimately...
The Kalakala had everything that I had designed in a multi-purpose family indoor-outdoor recreation facility. The square footage was the same, but the beauty of the interior of the Kalakala had the double horseshoe cafe. It had a grand ballroom. It had an exhibition space on the auto deck. It had an incredible brand. The Kalakala itself was world-renowned. It had sentimental value, historic value. The intangible gifts were a part of the project.
So why
making a difference?
So now you're suing the state and you're suing the guy who gave you the mortgage, and we're talking about $250 million. That's a lot of money. What's the state responsible for, and why are they figuring in this lawsuit?
Well, the first and most important thing is due process. The statutes and laws under the Constitution, especially for historical reviews, have preservation laws. That's the most important duty of the state to follow through with the protection and basically implement those laws.
But you bought the boat. Why is the state responsible for not having it preserved?
They are not responsible for having it preserved. They're responsible for adhering to the preservation laws of allowing the funding and or what we call as human environmental reviews under the National Park Service.
So you're saying they kept funding from getting to you in order to restore the boat?
No, they controlled funding. They didn't keep anything. They controlled the funding programs. They controlled the administrative federal and state dollars. They didn't want to disperse any funds to the Kalakala. They did use other vessels that were nowhere near the historical significance.
So when is this going to? Because I wish we had more time. When is this going to wind up in court, then, Steve?
Well, we have jury demand in November. We have witnesses being called in February of next year. We have the discovery cutoff in June, and the final trial is July 22nd of 2013.
All right. Well, this is Steve Rodriguez, the owner of the Kalakala, suing the state, and the guy who provided mortgage $250 million. Steve Rodriguez, I thank you for talking with me. I'm sure we're going to be in touch as this progresses through the months ahead, and we'll see what happens here. Hang with us, Newsline PM.